Hey guys, it's a Left 4 Dead Extra.
Yo.
Woo. Like every Left 4 Dead Extra, it's just me and Ryan. Of course, there was one with Dave when we did the Evil Dead talk.
Yes.
This one is Thor 2.
The Dark World.
The Dark World, yeah. It doesn't work for us because we're, you know, not even half, we're a quarter dark in this podcast right now.
It's the dark world, not the darky world.
Oh, okay. What made them dark elves, though? It was just one black guy there, and that's what made them the dark elves?
You know what? I don't know what was up with the African dark elf.
And then we go see the light elves, and they look exactly the fucking same. But enough about that.
I was okay. Outside of him, I was actually okay with them being pale, because that technically makes more sense than your typical dark elf design, because they're usually like they live in darkness or like they live deep underground. They're like your subterranean elves, so they would be kind of pasty.
That's fine. I mean, I like the in the Thor cartoon, the dark elf was blue. I was kind of fine with that. You know, it was a light blue coloring. So I thought, you know, Christopher Eccleston, but like every other dark elf looked like a regular elf. The light elves didn't even have like a tan or anything.
What these realms need is a doctor.
Yes. For those of you who haven't seen it, the Ninth Doctor plays the dark elf, Malekith. With which a name like that, I was hoping it was going to be somebody with a better voice.
I thought he did good.
He did good. Like, first of all, you don't even notice that it's him. You actually have to go into IMDb. There's nothing that like goes, "Oh my god, that's Christopher Eccleston," which is good for the character. I think he really becomes Malekith. But other than that, I thought that his voice was. His acting was really good, his voice acting, like, everything was really good. I just, compared to Curse, his voice was kind of wimpish.
Yeah. And, outside of, obvious Marvel Cinematic Universe liberties, that was somewhat consistent with their relationship, minus the fact that they don't get along so well. Malekith was the leader of the Dark Elves, and Algrim was his like strongest lieutenant, who did wind up becoming a super powerful, like Hulk strong abomination named Curse. It's just that was because Malekith betrayed him, not because of like loyalty.
Yeah. Which you're probably gonna see, you know, another time when Curse gets out of Hell, spelled AGL, which is another realm where the dead go.
Are we going to old school American cartoons where no one dies, they just go to another dimension?
Yeah, well, that's basically.
Those weren't grenades, they were matter transmitters to hell.
Yeah. The world
it's
of the
all
dead.
Semantics.
Yeah. Well, they didn't blow up anything, they kind of. Like, sucked you into something. You don't know what it is. We all thought that Loki died when he fell off the Rainbow Bridge. Mario caught him. Yeah.
Come on, you can't tell me that every time they like do the quick view into Asgard from the bridge, you're not like playing Mario Kart in your head. Like just on the finishing line of the Rainbow Road.
I'm looking for the little question mark things. Oh my god, somebody just texted me as you said that and the Mario jump happened.
Nice. All right, so what did you think of the movie?
I really like the movie. This is, you know, I don't know if we should say it now or we should have said it before. Spoilerific podcast.
Oh, yes.
We're not going to pull any punches or hammers. Yeah.
This is a spoiler cast.
Yeah, this is a spoiler cast. Especially, I really like the movie. I liked the fact that Marvel gives you all the fucking hints in the world that Loki is still alive, and still people were shocked that Loki was still alive. It's like,
yeah. Like, when the guy who stands up, that little green flash of Loki transformation light right before they pan onto him, that should have been a clue.
Yeah, that should have been the biggest clue. Odin, like, completely going bipolar.
Yeah. I kind of compare it, actually. There's a scene in the end of the first season of Supernatural where the brothers are reunited with their estranged but badass father. And
played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
The situation they were in, John, the father, it kind of breaks down a little bit, talking about all the mistakes he's made and how proud he is of Dean. And Dean draws the Colt, which is the kill anything gun that they have. He draws the Colt, points at him. He's like, "You're not my father." Based on the sole evidence that Dad was being nice. And I thought to myself, wow, Thor.
Yeah.
Dean's got you on this one.
Yep.
Because Odin's being way too nice. Yes, run off with your girlfriend. That's not Odin.
No. And
there's just little clues throughout, too. For example, his refusing to take the hammer.
Yeah.
Because he can't. Wah, wah.
I mean, Loki basically has control of Asgard. We don't know where Odin is at all.
Is he in another sleep and Loki's just locked him away?
Yeah.
Did Loki possess his body?
Yeah, we're not sure.
Did Loki kill him? Like, is this the beginning of Ragnarok?
Could be. Which, actually, could that bring about Thanos as a bad, like, a misunderstood good guy type thing?
No.
No?
Thanos is not a misunderstood good guy. Thanos is an intergalactic serial killer.
Okay, never mind. I'm talking about the comics, but maybe they'll try to make him, because he does have his own comic line, like his own run. So does Lobo.
Hmm. I actually would have thought when Loki was doing like the illusions on the two of them when they first walked out of the jail.
Yeah.
Like changing their shapes. I thought it would have been funny if he turned himself into Sif. Just like as a nod to female Loki in the comics. Because if I recall correctly, his female form was that when their souls were freed after Ragnarok, they all were given the ability to reincarnate, but through some messed upness, Loki ended up in Sif's body. Which is why he was a chick for a while.
Okay. Did Sif end up in Loki's body?
I think Sif just didn't reincarnate correctly right away.
Okay. I did like, there's a little cameo in this part that we're talking about of Chris Evans. Loki turns himself into Captain America.
Yeah, he's taunting Thor's new friends.
And before he can say God bless America, Thor like throws him up against a wall.
I can feel the righteousness.
Very patriotic. God bless.
And he looks more Captain America than Captain America looks in the new movie.
Yeah.
Though the new movie, at least in the trailer, it seems like he's wearing, like in the elevator scene, he looks kind of like Captain Rogers, but with the Captain America version of the shield.
The new movie really makes me want to see Captain America. I mean, the trailer makes me want to see Captain America too.
Oh. Yeah, let me say right now, in regards to the first Captain America movie, I am 150% neutral on that film. I don't dislike it. I appreciate that it exists. The actors did well with their roles, but I don't care about it. If it's on TV, I don't click to it. I saw it once or twice. It's there, right? So with that as a qualifier, I'm so fucking hyped for Winter Soldier. It looks amazing.
Yeah. Though, you know, that's actually my favorite Marvel film. I think it, that was the film, without that film, I don't
think. First Avenger?
Yeah. Without that film, I don't think we would have gotten the Iron Man 3 that we got. Because it basically turned it into a new genre of film for superhero films.
How so?
It's more, it's not, it's kind of like the same thing that Watchmen did for DC. You can't watch Captain America as a superhero film. It's more
I was agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah. It's more of a commentary, a World War II American commentary, than a superhero film. It just has a superhero in it. You know, there's shit that gets done in that film that, oh, yeah, you know what? We have this superpowered guy, but he's untrained, so we're going to throw him over here and force him to sell war bonds. But we're not going to tell anybody what we're doing with the war bonds and Manhattan Project.
Setting up how uptight Captain America was in Avengers.
Exactly. I mean,
he's like, wait, you're using crazy Red Skull technology.
Exactly. And he's
like, he legit just woke up after trying to sink the shit into the ocean.
Yep. Yeah, I don't even remember what the time frame was. I think the time frame for the whole thing, like between him waking up and the Avengers, was like a month.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, he's just like, oh, there's this new shit. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Works really well. I think this new one is probably a couple of years after Avengers. Because it is for us. And I think it's going to be one of those things where, we're going to see an Infinity Stone, which is really what I really want to talk about right now, our ideas about Infinity Stones. I put that in air quotes because in the comics they were Infinity Gems. Ryan, I know you named off of all the Infinity Gems from the comic books on the last podcast, but there is the time, the space, the reality, the soul, and I'm missing two. Mind and
power.
And power. So, apparently we've seen two of these stones. The Tesseract being one of them. And the Aether.
And the other.
The Aether, which is spelled Aether. But
well, I guess it's like Damon being pronounced demon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The A-E, I guess, just makes an E sound in some languages.
Yeah, well, some people call it Aeon Flux. Some people call it Aeon Flux.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we've seen these two stones. I put in air quotes again, because the ether is a stone that is not a stone. That's liquid, or appears as liquid, or appears as the Carnage suit. If you're looking at it from my perspective, I was sitting there going, "No, it's not Carnage." And I must have lost Ryan.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there?
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel like, you know, it was going to be a symbiote?
It looked kind of like an unbonded symbiote.
Yeah. And that was going to give him... It was just like,
that, that T-1000 kind of goopy feel?
Yeah, it was like... It felt like it was the almost the Carnage symbiote. And it was it was just going to take Jane's body and she got all this, like, great power and shit. Too, so I was like, this is how they're going to merge the two franchises. Sony is doing, oh no, it's an Infinity Stone. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. We also know that we got introduced to the Collector in this film too, mid-credit scene, who alluded that there are the six stones. And any comic fan can tell you that the Infinity Gauntlet is powered by the six Infinity Stones. So, Ryan, why don't you tell us more about the Infinity Gauntlet? Because I really don't have any idea about what it does other than reacts with the stones.
Well, that's essentially what the damn thing does. It's a big golden gauntlet that houses the six stones and turns you into God.
Ah, okay.
The gems are called the Soul Gems, as well as the Infinity Gems, and they're generally guarded individually by someone, giving that person great control over the aspect that gem governs. but if you can get them all into the gauntlet, it allows you to wield them all simultaneously, which gives you the power to do whatever the fuck you want, basically. Like, at one point, when Thanos had it in the comics, they were trying to stop him by taking planets and throwing the planets at him as missile weapons, and he was just bitch-lapping them away.
Like you do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, a little spoiler news for other movies, too. There is a Yellowstone, or orange, depending on which spoiler you're looking at, that plays a big part in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Now, keeping in mind, we can't necessarily go off of colors for which stone correlates to which gem.
Yeah, because we're still yelling about what the Tesseract actually is. Yeah. I've said...
The most common theory is that it's the, what, space gem?
The space gem. I said possibly the time gem.
I vote on the power gem.
Yeah. So we're
the reason
all
I say power gem is because... sorry, guys, I have a tickle in my throat today, so I apologize for the random coughing. But the power gem increases superhuman abilities, like it seemed to do for Loki. And it also gives you... It relates to power in general, which includes energy from projection, energy generation, energy manipulation. So at least the way it was presented in those movies, it was being used to, like, power a gate. It was being used to power weapons. It enhanced Loki's abilities. I can see arguments for other gems, too, but it just, to me, seemed kind of like the power gem.
Yeah. The only reason I have for it being the time gem is because it appears in Thor 1 and in Captain America at the same time, basically. It's in the ocean when... No, it's not in the ocean. It's in the hands of S.H.I.E.L.D. when when they pull out Captain America and during Avengers. So there's a whole, 40-year time gap. Or not, I mean, more than 40 years. What the hell am I? 70-year time gap. 70, 80-year time gap between the two films. Like, between Captain America and Howard Stark fishing out the Tesseract, which they say that he did in Avengers, and, Avengers. So, 70 years right there that the Tesseract was in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s hands. So, that being said...
One other argument...
Yeah?
One could... sorry. One could argue the reality gem, and I mainly base this on the fact that we all assumed the damn thing was a cosmic cube before they said that it wasn't. And the reality gem basically does something similar to the cosmic cube.
Okay.
But by the same token, you could also argue that the ether is supposed to be the reality gem, since he's trying to use it to unmake reality, and because the gem itself was once guarded by the collector.
Fair enough. So we have no idea what the hell these are.
No.
until, they're given... The actual identities are given to us.
My only real clue is that Kevin said, while you're close, don't specifically go off the color, so I'm not just going to say, well, it's clearly the space and power gems.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm trying to analyze the effects, but you with gems like these, you really could...
Go either way.
Go a number of different ways.
Yeah. This
my
also,
gem and the soul gem would be pretty easy to pinpoint, but like the reality gem and the power gem, that's because part of the problem is we're dealing with Thor characters, so it's like, is Loki controlling people's minds because he has the mind gem or the reality gem, or does he have the power gem enhancing his already abilities to cloud minds and like cast illusions and whatnot? We're already using characters who have crazy abilities, so we really don't know which way they're enhancing themselves.
Exactly. But this also opens...
Like power set is in the movie.
This also opens us up to other characters that they have been talking about. One being Doctor Strange.
Yep.
Another being Adam Warlock, who no one's really talked about.
No, but he was instrumental in... In the Infinity Infinity War Wars, Saga.
Yeah. And he died then, and the Thanos stole the life gem or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The soul would.
Soul gem.
Yeah, soul gem. By killing Adam Warlock. He's also another one that hasn't really come back after dying.
I thought he did.
He came back, not like, you know, Captain Marvel dying and never coming back. he came back for a little bit, but so far I think he's been trapped in the negative zone.
How do you trap a guy like Adam Warlock?
He doesn't have his gem anymore.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, that's one thing to add to. A character possessing any of these gems would be like an A-list super character. It's when you put them all together.
Yeah. That's like, also...
Doesn't Tony Stark currently have a gem?
Are you trying to say that the item that he... Or the thing that he synthesized would be a gem?
Not that. I don't remember if what happened when like Norman Osborn took over and if the status quo still exists for the Illuminati versus the Cabal. But Mr. Fantastic, when they were putting together the Illuminati, each member had a gem that they were being told given to safeguard.
Oh, you're talking about in the comics. I was talking about the movies.
Yeah. No, in the comics.
Okay. Fair. I have no idea. But I think... Well, it wasn't Adam Warlock one of the Guardians of the Galaxy at one point?
I don't recall.
I don't know, but... So they've already said that Doctor Strange is a potential character for Phase 3. Though they're not going to tell us any more about Phase 3 until next year. I still keep on hearing this whole thing about Black Panther... You know, no one's going to believe a strong black superhero. And it kind of pisses me off.
Why? Blade.
Huh? Why does it piss me off, or why do they...
I said Blade.
Yeah, I know. It was Blade. Oh, shit. Blade killed Daryl Dixon.
Yes, he did. Well, Daryl Dixon was being an asshole.
Yeah, he was. He was, you know, he was a familiar, so...
That's why it took me a little bit longer than some people to jump onto the Daryl craze. Because everyone else was, like, looking at Daryl and maybe thinking about, like, Boondock Saints or something like that. I was like, Scud from Blade 2?
Yeah.
And he played a douchebag on Charmed also.
I don't remember that, but I didn't watch a lot of Charmed.
He was dating Paige, and it turned out he had, like, a wife.
I could see Daryl doing that.
Spoiler alert, the wife wasn't Paige.
Oh. So yeah, there's a lot that's going on right now. You really can't say other than the power or the reality gem, you can't really say much more for the ether.
Yeah.
And it's one of those two.
Oh. It could be the power gem, because all it really seemed to do was shoot energy bolts.
Yeah. So, this bringing up, you know, the whole thing with Thanos, too. Also, do you think the Collector is working for Thanos, and that's why he says that he only needs 5 more?
Could be, or he could just want them himself. I'm not entirely sure why everybody in the Marvel Universe doesn't want those gems or stones.
Even good guys? That's another thing. You never see the real... Other than Loki, there's never really the bad guy that does good things but is still a bad guy type scenario. Loki's the only one that does that.
Loki you can't peg. And that's partly due to Tom Hiddleston, like, ad-libbing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of his direction in the first movie had him cackling kind of like the comic book Loki. And he played him to be more like angry and or sad at his family situation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of giving him that humanity, so to speak.
And I mean, even with the new one, when Loki cloaks the whole them, well, cloaks him and Thor in this imaginative scene where he cuts off Thor's hand. And I'm sitting there going, it's Thor, not Aquaman. I actually heard about that scene a while back.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going...
was going around.
Yeah. I was like, how, what? That doesn't ever happen. Wow, they're making like these real strides in, to make these the cinematic universe so like its own thing, not the comics. And then it all turns out to be a dream type situation. It's like,
well,
it worked really well.
Clue that he wasn't really betraying him was when he declared himself to be Loki of Jotunheim.
Yeah.
Because, like, Loki wouldn't declare himself of Jotunheim. He hates that part of his heritage. And then an even bigger clue was before that, which someone pointed out to me and I kind of felt slow. Before that, he grabs Jane and, like, roughly drags her over.
Yeah.
She had the ether inside her. She had to have known the plan, because if she felt threatened, the ether would have lashed out.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Now I feel retarded.
Yeah. So, which means that they were like, after she woke up, they're like, okay, Jane, here's the plan.
Yeah. Makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And apparently, Malekith didn't know that, and he only called himself Loki of Jotunheim so as to sell it to Cursed, I guess. Because if he had said, I'm Loki of Asgard, they would have been like, screw you, fool.
Yeah, because the whole dungeon was filled with people who, you know, weren't of Asgard.
And that's probably why he didn't let him out. He's like, you look a little bit like an Asgardian. I'm going to leave you in there.
Little fun fact. Lao Fei, who was in the first film, actually a woman. Seriously. In Norse mythology, Lao Fei is a woman who Odin actually has an affair with that produces Loki. So Loki is actually Thor's half-brother.
Yeah, in the comics, they are blood relation.
Yeah. They are half-brothers. Loki is just half frost demon, or giant, or whatever. He's half frost giant, so that Loki is a little bit taller, and he also has the power, you know, the whole ice power thingy. So,
And Loki's technically, Jotun royalty.
Yep. And Asgardian royalty. So, booyah. He was meant to be king. There was a little thing that I read before I saw the movie, though, and it was a poll of, do you think Loki should have his own movie? Now, Tom Hiddleston having his own movie, I'm totally on board for.
Yeah.
As a Loki character, not so sure. It's kind of like when they kept on going, we're going to have a Venom movie, we're going to have a Venom movie. I'm like,
well, Venom at least has his own comics and could do an anti-hero movie, just not a Topher Grace movie.
No, God, no.
Could you imagine?
That would be the whiniest Venom in the world. Nothing against Topher, he just wasn't Eddie Brock. There's so many people out there that could have pulled
he
off a better...
He was like Ultimate Eddie, kind of.
Hmm?
He was like alternate...
Yeah, he was skinnier than Spider-Man.
Yes, he was.
That's what threw me off, was, you know, Eddie Brock is kind of, you know... He doesn't have to be skinnier than Spider-Man, but he has to be at least on par. You know, there's a list of actors that I could see doing Venom a little bit better. Some of them I put in my list for playing Iron Fist. But I do have to address the whole Cumberbatch issue.
What do you mean?
Anyone who's friends with me on Facebook knows I put up a list of who I think would play very well in the new series of, you know, Defenders series. I guess we can call it that because that's what it's going to lead up to. There's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Power Man / Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. I said that Benedict Cumberbatch could pull off Daredevil. And I believe he could.
Okay.
I believe that, you know, from what I've seen of him with Sherlock and the movies that he's been in, he could totally pull it off. I think he could, especially, you know, with Drew Goddard writing it. And Drew Goddard did that excellent script for Cabin in the Woods that, you know, forced me to go back to my Fred phase for Amy Acker, but still. I wanted to stay in my Illyria phase, but it didn't happen.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, she was hotter as Illyria, but...
Yes.
And anyone who's not a fan of Angel right now is going, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah.
Fred, Illyria? What? There's a girl playing a person named Fred? What the...
Winifred Burkle.
Yep. Who gets trapped in a hell dimension... And Angel saves her. And then she gets possessed by a demon named Illyria and becomes the demon.
An old one.
Yeah.
And she's not possessed. Her soul is devoured.
No, whatever. Her soul is devoured, but she still has feelings for Wesley.
Yeah, right? Well, she has, like, trace memories and feelings from Fred.
So Illyria was Dr. Octavius before Dr. Octavius took over Peter Parker?
Yes, she is the superior Fred.
It should be Joss Whedon's next comic, Superior Fred. But, yeah, so we're looking forward to Captain America, maybe see another Infinity Stone, get a little bit of knowledge into the Infinity Stones. Maybe that's what's been keeping Winter Soldier alive for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, they found a stone, and they were keeping him alive with that kind of cryogenics. We don't know. We don't know if he really has a metallic arm, or if that was just, you know, cool steampunk-type armor that he was wearing. So they don't really show anything other than him catching the shield.
Yeah.
But he catches... Does he catch it with his left hand?
Think so. It should be.
Yeah, I hope so. And it's going to be a little bit weird.
Left hand in that other trailer.
Because isn't his arm supposed to be made of adamantium?
I don't. Are they allowed to reference adamantium?
They're not.
So they could do vibranium.
Yeah. Which I love the what do you call?
Turn you with Cap Shield, right?
Yeah, Cap Shield, they use vibranium. They talk about vibranium. And then another alloy that came from space. Which is kind of funny, because it's a reference to adamantium, but they don't call it adamantium.
Yeah. Now, isn't that a little weird that they can't use the phrase adamantium? I understand Fox not wanting to do that, because, of course, when you think of adamantium, you think of Wolverine.
Yeah.
But adamantium is just an element... You know, it's just a thing in the Marvel Universe. It's not exclusive to Wolverine. There are non-X-Men characters with adamantium.
I have no idea if it's a Fox thing or if they want to keep it away from, you know, you thinking of Wolverine type thing.
I think it's kind of like mutants. They can't reference mutants, even though not all mutants are X-Men and mutants are a phenomena of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But there are some people who it's like, we were born with our powers genetically.
Yeah.
You can describe a mutant, but they can't be called mutants.
Was Power Man a mutant, basically, or
Spider-Man?
No, Power Man.
Power Man.
Luke Cage.
No, I think he was an experiment to toughen his skin.
Okay. I know Iron Fist, studied, and that's how he got his powers.
But yeah, intense training, and then he inherited the immortal Iron Fist.
Yeah. Jessica Jones doesn't really have any powers other than she's a super spy. Which I'd like to see her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hmm.
I know they can cross over now, so we might. But, Jessica Jones is basically Alias. Seeing that Alias was based off the Alias comic book series that was Jessica Jones.
Alias Jessica Jones, yeah.
Yeah, Alias Jessica Jones was the main thing that the J.J. Abrams used to say, this is what I want to do for his show Alias, starring Jennifer Garner. And if they put Jennifer Garner back in as, that same character, I'm just going to stop watching Netflix.
That would actually be kind of hilariously awesome.
It's just like, your husband failed at, one of our characters. But he's doing, getting a lot of praise for Batfleck right now. So let's try you again.
Whatever they do, I'm going to recut an intro once that show starts airing using the Alias theme.
And then you're going to post it on...
One difference, Sydney couldn't fly.
Yeah. Though, could she fly in Alias Jessica Jones? Could Jessica Jones fly in that?
I think so. I think that was her origin story, is where she got hit by all those chemicals in a car accident. She also was a high school buddy of Peter Parker's, and she would later go on to marry and bear the child of Luke Cage.
Yep.
Spoiler alert for how the show might go.
Which is... Yeah, I'm expecting it to go that way. Because, let's face it, you have Daredevil. Daredevil, everyone loves Daredevil, unless you've seen the movie.
That would make it even more awesome if Jessica Jones was played by Jennifer Garner.
That's another thing. With Daredevil, they also got Elektra back. But we don't know if they got Kingpin back. Kingpin back. And the Kingpin...
Oh, yeah, who does Kingpin... Whose rights would Kingpin roll under?
Fox. Fox had it, but I'm not sure if when they lost Daredevil, because he was in the Daredevil movie, if they lost it.
Well, I would be inclined to guess yes, just looking at the Fantastic Four deals and how those kind of seem to be all in one. We have the Fantastic Four, therefore we have Galactus and the Silver Surfer for gay reasons.
Which is kind of funny because I heard a rumor that Disney said you can keep Daredevil if you give us Silver Surfer.
And they said no. But I do not trust Fox to do a Silver Surfer movie. Yeah. So,
whatever. I don't trust Fox to do anything when they... As soon as they said, we're going to have Michael B. Jordan... We're thinking about Michael B. Jordan to play Johnny Storm, but we're going to play keep Sue Storm white. I would totally be on board.
They were adopted.
I don't care. I'd totally be on board with a black Sue Storm.
But do you think America would be?
Hey, we have a black president now. But yeah, apparently...
His black first lady, whenever she says anything on Facebook, you'll see some angry-looking picture of her and click on the comments in 2 seconds before someone's calling her a monkey. America's still pretty racist.
And that's why we'll never have the King of Wakanda have his own movie?
I mean, if we disagreed with the Bushes or something, you wouldn't go in the comments and have people start talking about, this corn-fed white bitch.
Usually that was me on the comments.
I feel like those two Latino guys in Bad Boys 2 always got to go racial, man. Sad.
But no, I feel I don't feel like America is ready for Marvel's first family to go interracial. I mean,
I think America is ready for Fox to fuck up the Fantastic Four for a third time.
Yeah.
Like, Sony managed to not fuck up Spider-Man, but they'd already managed to not fuck up Spider-Man 2.5 times.
Really, 2.5?
Yeah, I like the first two movies, and the third movie's not perfect, but I don't think it's a total flop that people think it is.
Alright.
I think it has a weak-ass last act.
Well, that seems to be a problem with Fox's stuff, too.
I think the problem with Spider-Man is that they forced him to put Venom in, so character development time he should have spent on, like, for example, Green Goblin Mark II.
Yeah.
Was spent with, like, Topher Grace and Jazz Hands. Like, he had to shoehorn in content while trying to do his own New Goblin plus Sandman story. So I don't think it was a perfect movie. I basically think everything symbiote-related sucked, and everything else was decent.
Okay, fair enough. And there is still hope that Sony and Disney will make a deal before 2015.
Right.
There's a lot of hope, especially online. A lot of forums going, I would love to see that. And you know what? I said it before, and I'll say it again. All I need to see is, like, fucking... Oh, what's the kid's name? Andrew Garfield?
Yeah.
So Andrew Garfield just sitting there in a crowd...
Eating a fucking hot dog.
Yeah, eating a hot dog and with a fucking camera around his neck.
Just taking pictures of the action?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a huge fucking, oh my god, it's fucking, you know.
Spider-Man doesn't have to join the fisticuffs.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be in the movie. Just a little nod that, you know, Spider-Man exists in the universe would be great for me. I would love that.
I'm hoping that this all eventually builds. Like, if you look at the Hugh Jackman comments...
Yeah.
I'm like, one day this will all build and we'll actually have, like, some crazy-ass crossover where, like, Wolverine's fighting side-by-side with Cap.
Yeah. Well, Hugh Jackman also had a cameo in the first Spider-Man movie where he was doing exactly that. He was eating a he was eating a hot dog.
In Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man?
In Spider-Man. In the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire.
Was he Hugh Jackman or was he playing Logan?
He had the Logan hair. And he was wearing, just the Logan wife beater with the jeans, and he was eating a hot dog. And they cut that scene out because Fox said that, no, you can't do that, even though...
Oh, so it's not like I missed it, it just was cut?
It was cut completely, they didn't even put it in the deleted scenes. Like, I don't think they actually, like, taped it. They just decided, like, he was on set, and they were like, no, we can't do that.
Why was he on set? Was he just, like, chilling with someone?
They were going to, what do you call it? They asked him to do it, and then Fox came in at, like, the 11th hour and went, no.
Like, sir, you're going to have to leave?
Pretty much, you can be on set, but you can't do this. You can't be in the movie. And if you're going to be in the movie, you have to be, like, dressed like a normal human being. You can't be dressed like Logan.
What are you doing here? I'm playing, Wolverine, Mike.
What?
No. No, sir, you're not.
Yeah. This contract says no. I don't even...
Fox just... Hugh Jackman just has a guy from Fox who personally tails him around everywhere, making sure he doesn't talk.
I also love how Mike Millar was just like, yeah, we're looking at about 10 more X-Men films with the crossover between X-Men and the Fantastic Four. I'm just like, you do realize that they're... on separate fucking ends of the state, right? I know this all happens in New York, but separate fucking ends of New York. I mean, the Baxter Building is in, like, the center of Manhattan.
Well, I mean, if they get Iceman and Johnny to go after the same chick, it'll be kind of like old comics.
Yeah, but still.
But their Iceman has a girlfriend.
Yeah. Sookie.
Or possibly Juno.
Oh, yeah, depending on...
depending on which way you ship.
Yeah. Maybe she'll go after Colossus.
As she should.
Yeah.
Maybe Colossus will develop a Russian accent.
No.
I am Colossus. No, you're not. Son, you're not.
Not at all.
You're not even a little bit Russian.
Did you know that there's a... Oh, what's the... There's actually a vitamin called Omega Red, now that we're talking about a...
Is there an Epsilon Red?
No. But I was reading comments and somebody was just like, yeah, there's a vitamin called Omega Red. And they're like, I laugh every time. I'm just like, why? Oh my God, that is funny. Because I've seen the same commercial.
Uh-huh. But is it like the doing a carbonadium smasher? Hey, could they use carbonadium?
I don't know.
Omega. Or is that too closely tied to X-Men-related characters?
I think it's too closely tied to X-Men-related characters. We always get into this, you know, other cinematic stuff whenever we talk about all this. Whenever we do an extra.
Yeah, well, let me completely jump universes here. I'm just going to dive right off the ship. Arrow. What do you feel about them taking Mockingbird and basically making her two characters?
What do you mean, making her two characters? Because you have Laurel and then you have Sarah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't find it that bad as much as I find it really... not bad, but I find them calling the League of Shadows the League of Assassins very distracting.
Is that a rights thing with the movies? I mean, obviously they own it all, but...
I don't know.
But they even kind of dress like they did in the movies, and they're talking about Ra's al Ghul, and I'm like, yeah. They need to find Liam Neeson and cut him a check.
Yes.
This would be the greatest show ever.
Yes,
you can get Sam Jackson as Director Fury in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We can get Liam Neeson in Arrow.
That's what caused the earthquake in Starling City.
Yeah, right?
He was being in Black Canary.
Oh, God. Well, even the method of, like, the whole sinking part of the city and the city being corrupt and everything, like, the show feels like a Nolan Batman story. And Merlin dressing just like the League.
Yep.
Doesn't it just kind of feel like a Nolan Batman thing, or all these people from the League just keep showing up to try to sink Gotham into a hole?
And how do we know that Malcolm Merlin is dead?
Book dead, which means he may or may not be.
Yeah. It's like, we left him on top of a roof, dead.
Dead. Okay. Confirmed. Confirmed. I got his dog tags.
He's just going to respawn in 3 seconds. But yeah
we don't really know.
I doubt it. He's Arrow's biggest
enemy. I'm sorry,
enemy.
By the way,
huh?
I just realized I said Mockingbird before.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
and her that's her Marvel ripoff clone. I meant Black Canary.
Is that the Marvel ripoff clone?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been doing some digging around on that, which things were based on which other things. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know Deathstroke's Marvel ripoff is Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
But Thanos was actually in the Marvel universe before Darkseid. And Jack Kirby created Darkseid after Marvel said, hey, we really don't like this character Thanos.
Oh, Black Canary predates Mockingbird by 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And they also both kind of serve, like, she's this assassin-trained, crazy-ass hand-to-hand combatant, and her romantic interest is the Avengers resident archer. She was married to Hawkeye.
Because actually, that was the other thing. Green Arrow is the ripoff of Hawkeye.
No.
Yeah.
What? No.
By about a year.
No.
Yes. It goes back and forth, dude.
No.
Yeah.
That's like commonly accepted the other way around. I need to look this up real quick.
It was like a year difference. It might not have been a real ripoff type thing.
Oh, but if you consider that he showed up as a villain initially. He was like a thief.
Yeah.
I think he was an Iron Man, like, minor villain.
Oh, he was.
Back when Iron Man's costume sucked.
Yeah, I think it wasn't really a ripoff as much of a conceptionary, you know, things that were conceived at this, almost the same time. But Hawkeye came out first.
Hold on. Okay, so I got 64 on Hawkeye.
I think it was like 65 on Green Arrow.
Well, first appearance, I got 41 on Green Arrow.
Really?
Yeah. More Fun Comics, number 73.
Okay, never mind.
Maybe it's one of those things. Remember DC went around... Like, Marvel Comics, all their characters, for the most part, are, like, created for Marvel Comics. Or at least were licensed to be printed in Marvel Comics. DC Comics, yeah. A lot of their licenses or acquired licenses that they bring into their multiverse. That's why there's so many Image comic characters running around right now.
Really? They brought in a bunch of the Image? I know that
Yeah, they bought Wildstorm. So that's like your Youngblood, your Wildcats. Basically, everything... Remember when Image Comics first launched was huge? They basically owned everything that was coming out back then except for Spawn.
Wow.
It'd be kind of awesome if they were to acquire Spawn, by the way.
Actually, Marvel, I think, is on the way to acquire Spawn.
That'd be even more awesome.
Seeing that they just
Somebody
acquired...
Somebody needs to acquire Spawn so that Spawn can get going again, because Spawn's been, like, at a stalemate. They did, like, that new guy Spawn that nobody liked, and it's almost impossible to find back issues of Spawn.
I know that...
I was like, let me go catch up on the old collections, and I'm like, nobody's selling this.
Marvel acquired the character Angela from Spawn.
Right.
So Marvel could basically probably throw Todd McFarlane a couple of bucks and just be like, hey.
He does have that rich history with the company.
Yeah. I mean,
his work on Spider-Man was fantastic.
I would love to see Spawn versus Deadpool.
Isn't he one of the fathers of Venom?
Todd McFarlane? Yeah, I think so. I think the Venom that we all know, I think he, like, basically the father of. I don't know if he, because Venom was, what, 61? No, not 61, 71?
I don't think so.
When was Secret War, whenever the Collector grabbed the Avengers?
I should clarify by saying Venom as in... the Venom symbiote plus Eddie Brock.
Oh.
No, I'm not talking about the black suit and, like, the symbiote itself.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, not the Venom symbiote, but the version of Venom that was run by Eddie. It's really complicated when you try and pinpoint.
Yeah, which is, that was mid-80s, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
That was after Reed Richards lost the symbiote and it came back to, what do you call it? Reed Richards lost the symbiote. It found its way back to Peter. That's when we get the whole church bell thing.
Yeah.
And that was completely ripped out of the comics and poorly done in the movie.
The first ever appearance of Venom was Amazing Spider-Man 300, which was a Todd McFarlane issue.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's the one who drew him before the, like, super extended snout.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah, he just had, like, that super evil grin.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, he kind of got the pronounced snout and, like, the fangs, like we know from, like, Venom Lethal Protector and all that.
That's another thing that we probably won't get to see, is Rhino versus Juggernaut. Or Hulk versus any of them.
That's true. Poor Hulk.
I would love to see Hulk versus the Thing, but that's never going to happen either.
Hulk's gallery started out, or is like other characters' rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Like we'll never get to see him fight Wolverine.
Yep. Which Wolverine fucking came in on Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, if they own the rights to Hulk, they should own the rights to Wolverine.
Wendigo, is he a Wolverine villain or a Hulk villain?
That I'm not sure.
Because I believe the correct answer is both, but in the movie universe, That's complicated.
Yeah, I think in the movie, they probably might be able to use Wendigo for a Hulk movie, if they ever do a fucking another Hulk movie.
You never know, though. Fox will be like, no, we're going to do a Wolverine Part 3, and he's going to return to his Canadian roots, and he's going to have to fight the Wendigo.
Yeah.
Which could be a potentially cool story hook.
It could.
Just, can you just picture a rustic Wolverine out in the woods fighting a man-eater with super strength?
There's also...
Do it up like a slasher flick that happens to star Wolverine?
But also, Bruce Banner has quoted many times in the comics that the Thing is, if he ever goes rogue, the Thing is the only thing that can take him out. The only comic book hero that he believes can take him out.
He whooped the Thing back in the day.
But now he's saying... That's what he said in a recent issue. I can't remember which it was. And I say recent, but it's like 5 years old.
No.
Yeah.
There are guys stronger than the Thing.
I'm sure there are, especially in the cinematic universes. I mean, let's be honest. In the cinematic universe, fucking Colossus is stronger than the Thing. And he gets, like, 2 minutes of airtime.
Well, that's because Thing didn't do a goddamn thing in his movies.
Yeah.
At all.
And
in the comics, I'm not sure which of them is currently stronger.
I don't know.
Because Colossus would have to be stronger, because I believe at the moment he's Juggernaut.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Isn't there like a soul trip?
He took the Gem of Sitarak.
Oh, that's right. The Gem of Sitarak. Okay.
So he's Juggernaut, so I guess he's stronger. But Thing, to his credit, has been doing crazy Dragon Ball Z like gravity training from... thanks to Reed Richards. So he's gone from his old, like, a little bit stronger than Spider-Man class to, like, class 80 or so. That's kind of that tier of guys who are, like, just under Thor and the Hulk. Because they're considered class 100 plus.
Well, seeing that Hulk got his ass whooped by Thor... I mean, that other way around, sorry. Thor got his ass whooped by Hulk. In the movies. I think Hulk might be stronger than Thor in the movies.
I think they're trying to portray that with the adage of the madder Hulk gets, the stronger he gets.
Yeah.
Because when Thor was trying to reason with Hulk, Hulk was knocking him around. When Thor decided to fight seriously, he actually was kind of embarrassing him. And then I think Hulk got pissed, and that's when he overpowered him.
Ah.
But even then, he couldn't move Mjolnir. Now, notice that Curse was able to disrupt Mjolnir's trajectory.
Yeah.
So I think Curse was stronger than Hulk. Because at no point in that fight did Thor have the upper hand.
I mean, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see them bring back Abomination.
Didn't he kill? No, they trapped him.
No, yeah, we know that S.H.I.E.L.D. has Abomination on the raft.
Yeah. How are they containing him?
I'm not sure.
Because the thing they built to contain the Hulk, I don't even think could contain the Hulk.
Yeah, because it couldn't contain Thor.
Abomination is stronger than base Hulk.
Yeah. They couldn't contain Thor, so...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, they were acting like, oh, we'll put him in a dome of plexiglass and then we'll drop him. Like, that's really not going to kill him at all.
Yeah.
In fact, if you drop him out of the dome of plexiglass, all that's going to do is free him from the plexiglass. I suppose the benefit of building the trapdoor is if you find out after the fact that you can't contain him and he starts to crack the glass, you can be like, get him the fuck off my ship.
Yep.
All right, drop him in the ocean.
But also, we have to remember, in his Bruce Banner form, he went through like 7 layers of concrete before turning into the Hulk. He jumped out of a fucking plane and went through like 7 layers of concrete. Bruce Banner is
right?
Like just as badass as Hulk is. So,
well, I guess I remember thinking, why didn't that splat him prior to his transformation? Because the way they portrayed it in the movie was, I'm going to jump and then transform before I land. And they were actually genuinely worried, like, what if you don't transform? And, like, there's a general plot points about, like, we have to contain him or possibly kill him before he changes kind of thing going on throughout, you know, both the first Hulk movies.
Yep.
And they kind of, I don't know if Marvel just got tired of hearing people talk about that, but they completely retconned that as just people not understanding how the Hulk works.
Yeah, by saying that he shot...
I shot myself, and then I just turned into Hulk. So what changed him was he failed to trigger the transformation, and then he died on the pavement, which brought out the Hulk.
Yeah.
He flat out went, crack, ow, arr!
Yeah. So, yeah.
What does kill makes you stronger?
So he wasn't really dead, he was just like... All his bones
crack.
Yeah,
but he must have been somewhat starting to change because he did kind of, like you said, he sank in.
Yeah,
normal people just kind of land on the pavement doesn't break from normal people. Just lovely blood pattern.
Yeah, he was probably changing and
like his core was starting to thicken or whatever. He just hadn't turned green yet.
Yeah,
it's like that time they tried to gas him and he was like, "I'm too angry to go to sleep."
Yeah, so...
That was a bad scene on the military's behalf, because they actually did fairly well for themselves, considering how utterly doomed their attack was.
I am kind of psyched to see Thor versus Thanos.
Yeah.
Especially if Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet at this point.
Yeah. Am I the only one who liked Blonsky in his Captain America phase?
I really liked Blonsky.
I know everything's kind of trying to reproduce Captain America.
Yeah. Well,
and so basically they perfected Banner's serum and successfully produced what Banner was trying to produce in the first place, but then they fucked it up by overdosing.
Yeah. I feel as though what they've been trying to do is kind of give a social commentary about how Marvel started in the first place. Because Marvel... Their company started with Captain America. Captain America was part of Timely Comics.
Captain Propaganda.
yes. Captain Propaganda was part of Timely Comics.
Which was very well lampshaded in the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You see Human Torch, the first Human Torch, not Johnny Storm's costume.
Yeah, right.
In the movie, which was a Timely Comics thing. It wasn't a Marvel thing.
The Android Human Torch?
Yes. So you see that, I mean, even in, you see that, and they, not lampoon it, but yeah, lampshade it. But seeing that every character has something to do with Captain America in the Marvel Comics universe is kind of just saying, you know, it all started with Captain America. Stan Lee didn't create Captain America, but he wrote Captain America before he came up with these other characters. And
if they had the rights to X-Men, I guarantee you they'd be saying the Weapon X project was an attempt to reproduce super soldiers.
Didn't they do something like that?
In the Ultimate Comics, it basically all comes down to that.
No, but didn't they do something like that in the X-Men movies? Like, it's a... We're trying to create a super soldier or something. Not saying super soldier, but...
The project itself was always about trying to create, like, the perfect weapon.
Yeah.
So, I guess you could say that the comics tying it into, like, our military with Stryker.
Yeah.
Is kind of like that. Or Stryker's whole Shadow Squad, or whatever they call themselves.
I don't know.
I forget what they call themselves, because that movie's horrible, and I don't want to recall it.
Which movie?
Not when Stryker was played by the first Hannibal Lecter, but when he was played by the vampire from 30 Days of Night.
Fair enough.
I like them better as Hannibal Lecter. Because Brian Cox is awesome.
Didn't they, they did something... I'm trying to think... Was that the same guy that played Howard Stark in one of the movies? That played William Stryker?
I don't think so.
Are they both named Dominic?
I don't know the second guy's name offhand.
I have a feeling that there's like this connection or something. It might just be that they're both named Dominic.
The first name paradox, huh?
Yeah.
Who played Howard Stark before Howard Stark?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about?
You know, in Iron Man 2?
Different Howard Stark, like in Iron Man?
Yeah, there's the Iron Man 2 Howard Stark, which was the older, quote-unquote, Howard Stark, and that's why he's played by a different actor. That was the reasoning.
The geezer paradox, eh?
Yeah. And then there's young Howard Stark, who is helping... And you gotta sit there... I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, Howard Stark in this movie... you know, what is he, early 30s? You know,
yeah.
Late 20s, early 30s in Captain America. Robert Downey Jr., yeah. Late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
He didn't have Tony until he was...
like a thousand? Like,
until he was almost like in his 40s. He had to be in his 40s or 50s when he had Tony. So, that doesn't make any sense.
Let's just, for the sake of simplicity, let's say Tony was born in... All right, did they give years for the flashbacks in Iron Man 3?
No. I don't think so. Oh, yes, they did. It was 99, I think.
And how old would we guess he was then? Like... Maybe 30,
yeah.
So we're going to say he was born in, like, 69, 70, around there. So, yeah, Howard must have been about 65 years old when he decided to settle down.
Yeah.
So Tony's perspective is that Dad wasn't there for him, and that's because Dad was in a retirement home.
Yeah, that's
not because he was a negligent father.
Exactly. It's all making sense. Does it's just like, unless Howard Stark took the same longevity formula that he gave to Nick Fury.
Or Tony's father was Howard Jr. and that was Grandpa.
There's that too, but no. Nick Fury says that he knew Howard Stark. And they do the whole thing about, oh, how old are you, Nick Fury, in Iron Man 2. Yeah. Also, he says that his father worked on the Manhattan Project, and the Manhattan Project was,
1945? Yeah.
Therefore, your theory is flawed, my son.
My theory is flawed. That's why it was but a theory. It was not backed up by... empirical evidence or the scientific method.
Now, seeing that Howard wasn't that much older in the 76 clip that they show in Iron Man 2.
Maybe he took the super soldier serum.
That's what I'm thinking. Not the super soldier serum, but the longevity serum that they made for Nick Fury. Yeah. Because Nick Fury also says that he was friends with Howard Stark. And Nick Fury only looks to be, you know... late 50s, early 60s.
Do you think that's what it's going to come down to with Coulson, by the way? Some version of that administered in time to heal him?
Possibly.
That's possibly causing him issues now?
I feel as though it might be one of those things where Nick Fury wants him to believe that there's something wrong with him to... you know, kind of putting him on the outside to try to break back into S.H.I.E.L.D. with Sky and everything so he can learn some other truths that maybe Nick Fury doesn't know.
I have another theory.
Yeah?
It's a demon. A dancing demon. Something isn't right there.
We've got a theory. We should work this out.
It's getting eerie. What's this eerie singing all about?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, no, seriously, though, what if...
We didn't actually jump universes that far, either.
Yeah, no, just hopped into Whedon.
Yep.
What if he's a life model decoy, and he's going to just expire every couple of seasons, and they're just going to put out another one?
I don't think that either. Why would they give him the whole scar thing?
For to make him think he's the real one.
Oh, okay.
To maintain maximal usefulness.
Yeah. I think that Coulson may be... he may be Coulson, and he's just... He's trapped in this kind of web of deceit where he's got to figure out why, and Nick Fury put him there because he's the only one who could probably break back into S.H.I.E.L.D. to figure out all this stuff. It's kind of like the way that...
You think they're... What if they pulled an iRobot twist? He gets into combat, and you find out, he's a cyborg!
Maybe. He changes his name to Victor.
No.
No.
He's not black enough.
Okay. Did you start throwing in Amalgam Universe shit? Suddenly we get Lobo the Duck.
Yes.
That's the character
movie ever.
I want to see Howard the Duck be get brought back into the Marvel Universe.
Couldn't they work him into Guardians of the Galaxy?
They could. And they have a fucking raccoon.
And Howard comes from a parallel universe.
Yep. Reality gem. That's all I'm saying.
No.
No?
The gem's only working in the reality they're native to, so I don't know if it could pull someone from another reality.
Okay.
That's one weakness of the gems. It's specifically tied to the universe that you're in.
Damn them.
I know, right? Those weak-ass gems. They only make you a singular universe god.
I want to rule all the universes.
Kakarot!
Technically, though, they yes. could bring in Hercules. Hercules was an Avenger.
I just feel like that would be confusing.
It would be confusing.
This is, by the way, you know the Asgardians? Meet the Olympians.
Exactly.
I mean, it is a thing in the comics.
What's the...
like, when Norman Osborn was like, I want my own Avengers, but I want them to be kind of evil Avengers. I need a god. Ares. And so instead of Thor, you have Ares with his big war axe.
You know what? Ares is one of those gods that can jump to any fucking comic book he wants.
Yeah. He's neither a good guy nor a bad guy. He just likes to punch shit.
Yep. Even if he wants to jump into, like, I don't know, Injustice, Gods Among Us. He does
that. Well, that's because DC has its own...
I know.
The Olympians.
I know.
Like... It's kind of weird, though, because usually their gods are, like, originals, and Marvel has the, like, mythological gods. So it's weird that they're suddenly just like, oh, but also Ares.
Yeah. Well, no, Diana is, what do you call it, is a Greek god, and they always pray to Diana other than, you know, the Diana who is, what do you call it, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but they're not, like, directly Greek pantheon. They're kind of like... They always seem to me to kind of evoke Greek mythology.
Yeah.
More so than actually be, like, direct Greek mythology.
It's almost like they're the Valkyries of Greek mythology.
Yeah, right? Except Greek mythology didn't really have Valkyries.
I know.
Hence the weirdness.
But they have the Atlanteans, and Atlantis is, yeah.
But those aren't gods.
No, they're not gods, but they worship Atlantis, and they live in Atlantis.
And their king is Aquaman.
Yeah. So that's a Roman god, right?
And they're like, we need people to take Aquaman more seriously. You need to turn him into Namor. That's basically what they did. They're like, make him badass and call him the king.
And then they decided that Namor was actually a mutant.
Well, no, they knew that a long time ago.
Okay.
They used to call him their first mutant. Yeah. I don't remember when they branded him the first mutant. Like, I don't know if they always called him a mutant. But he's not considered a normal Atlantean. Is he half human?
I don't know.
Is that what makes him a mutant, or is he just an Atlantean that's stronger than other Atlanteans?
I think he... He's
he might be half human, was what might make him a mutant.
I think he was a human. He was a human, and then, like, he basically birthed the Atlanteans. He is the Atom of the Atlanteans.
That's why they're all blue?
Yep.
Wait, no, that doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
What about Namor and Namorita? Namorita's his like cousin.
I don't
know. Which implies a sort of parallel line as opposed to a direct progeny. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe there's other mutants with the same powers and they decided to keep it in the family.
The reason he got involved in the Civil War was because what happened when Nitro killed Namorita. So he was like, they killed my cousin. Whoa, sorry for the noise.
Apparently, Brian was trying to kill Namorita. But on that note, so this has been a good little discussion about Thor 2 that spawned into other things.
Now we're talking about Illuminati and or the Marvel Civil War.
Yep. But I gotta call it quits now, because I gotta work on the Hybrid Works Christmas album. So, you guys stay tuned, and, coming later this week, we're gonna have our whole discussion about the best movies of the year, which we will pick by the end of the year. And I think our show on the 2nd, on January 2nd, is going to have the winners for best show or best movie, the best of 2013. So January 2nd, look for that. We're going to bring out the nominees this week. So unfortunately, Ryan won't be there, but
yeah. Is there going to be... Where's voting going to take place, though? Just amongst ourselves?
Just amongst ourselves.
Okay, so I have to make sure I listen to this episode.
Yeah. Also, we might have another...
If I have any suggestion that pops into mind, I'll send it to you privately.
Oh, definitely. We might have another Left 4 Dead extra after...
Yeah, this is basically my contribution for the week, yeah. Since I won't be here on Thursday. I unfortunately have to work.
But yeah, on Saturday, Ryan and I might... just do a little TED extra with some special guest stars. We're not sure if we can get the special guest stars to talk. But yeah.
I'm just picturing, like, Tanya and Nara, do you guys want to contribute to the podcast? Go. Okay, so...
Well, actually, that's why I have to go, because Nara's about to come over to help me out with this Christmas album.
Oh, wow, so. You have... Is she backup vocals?
Yeah, she's contributing with... She's going to do a song or two. We're trying to write a 12 Teds of Christmas. So...
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we might have another Left 4 Ted extra, like I said, coming up on the Saturday or Sunday. So, pay attention to that. Hopefully, I'll be able to post this later on tonight. Today is Monday, I think, right? Today's Monday?
Yeah. I hope so, because I have to work on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
So I would be, horrendously late.
So, sayonara, folks, for now, and catch us on Friday when we post the new episode.
Yep. Farewell, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.